This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
Hey, world. This is Quentin Quartel coming at you. Lover of business innovation. Business process innovation, business innovation, product innovation. I love when people think and when they experiment. I love being part of that at all levels.
This is a continuing episode of a series, Agile Coaching, A New Hope. Do you have any hypothesis why the curve is dropping in 2022, I think it was?
Yeah, I think we've just reached we've reached saturation. That agile, you know, everything is going to follow that curve of adoption. So we've reached agile is the norm now, right? Mm. You know, back when I started, when did I hear about Agile? 2002. Agile, like it was, you would talk about it in secret little corners, and we'd have these little meetups, and we were the rebels out there. We're doing this crazy stuff that no one else was doing. Right. We're going to take down the evil empire, the evil waterfall empire, and we did. And like Diana Larson said, like Agile isn't dead. It won.
Interesting.
And I think that's it. Like, now it's won. Now we've won. The demand for agile coaches and transformations is like dropping drastically because you're at the tail end of the adoption curve.
Yeah.
So we're left with the laggards, and you know you're in the laggards when it's what banks and
insurance
companies and banks, right? Yeah, like they're always the laggards. And that's as soon as I think you start doing agile transformation work there, you're like, okay, we're nearly done then. I think that's what's happened is we've reached saturation. It's not a bad thing, you know?
No, we won.
Like Diana Larson says,
you're talking about the post movie that isn't shown in Star Wars after the rebels defeat the Empire. What do? Do they keep rebelling? No, they probably get jobs. And they go become government people.
Carrie Fisher is like, you know, she has to go and work in a cafe and make lattes. And, she's a barista or something.
Right.
Yeah. No one needs my lightsaber skills anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And that's actually you and I have, because we lived through that industry and we saw the downward trend, we've seen some people who were in the industry who left a little earlier and they're really negative about it. And they're just like bashing it. It's like, oh, this has always just been a kind of a fake thing, this, that, blah, blah, blah. And I think that I don't know if you know the specific person I'm talking about, but I think it's more than just that person. There's a group or a collection. They were angry that they had to get a different job, and they're putting all the problems at the foot of something, and that something happens to be agile.
Yeah, you know, when people are scared. And you know, I opened the keynote, like, I am scared. Like, getting laid off sucks, you know. Trying to find work is not fun. Getting paid unemployment benefit is, you know, not great. So, yeah, I'm scared. And it's easy to, you know, when people are scared, they will often lash out. The real thing to do is to pivot, and that's where I was trying to say to people, like, it's time to try something else. Don't try and flog the dead horse. There's no point getting angry. This is the reality of where we're at, you know. I don't think it's totally unfounded. I know a lot of the arguments, so I think there was a lot of silliness. But, you know, it's water under the bridge now and it was done.
The silliness, do you want to put words to those silliness?
The Agile transformation, what it's been called, the Agile Industrial Complex, I think that's a name that got bandied around a lot. So, I mean, you could make a lot of money in the Agile world. You know, when something's in demand, you can say, well, I've got the answer and here it is and it's like this. And if you're confident enough and you market it right, you know, people listen to you and you make a lot of money. Doesn't mean it's right. But so I think a lot of people made a lot of money. So I guess that's what's in question now. And did they make it bad for everyone else? Did they destroy it? I don't know. It was I think we could have done better. And this is where I want to get to later, and part of the pivot. I think Agile should have actually gone in a different direction. But we also did the best we could at the time with what we knew, you know, in part. So a lot of these people weren't evil. They just did the best with what they knew. And it maybe was not the best thing to do. But that's what happened.
Can I explore it? So the people not being, or maybe they were, or weren't being evil. Are you referring to, like, so some of the things I hear, like, the Agile cargo cult has caused damage, and so it's ruined the reputation of Agile. The companies bought transformation, but they didn't get results because they just did the cargo cult activities. They just did the things that Agile asked them to do.
I think we did a poor job as, this is me looking back. We did a poor job of collecting data. Like, why didn't we use data to say, hey, this thing works and we can prove this thing works, or to do our Agile transformations in a lot more data-driven way to say, all right, well, what's our hypothesis? So I'm a big fan of lean change. I know Jason Little's work. And you have to say, well, yeah, what's our hypothesis? And how do we know, what experiment are we going to run and how do we know if it worked? The leading metrics and what are the lagging metrics? But we never did that. We just charged in. We did Scrum will work or Kanban will work and this framework will work and this will all work and trust us and make sure to pay me every month. But yeah. Trust us.
Well, right. Let me think about this. I feel like that worked for a lot of things.
It didn't, we didn't, there's a great quote in here. It's oddly enough, I was reading Software in 30 Days by Ken Schwaber and Jeff Sutherland. They're talking about Agile transformations and they said, you know, we've done loads of them, but every time we come back, it's always degraded. Oh, here we go. In the transformation to Scrum, entire org is upheaval, worked in controlled chaos for several years, blah, 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 blah. Within several years, the organization, then they've come back. The organization is not as bad as it was when it started, but it's not an Agile Scrum organization either. Oh. Opportunity has been lost. When we compared notes, we found this to be true of almost every enterprise transformation that we know of and have been a part of. And that's like been my experience as well. Like we made things better, Lance. We did make it better. I don't think we reached a nirvana point, and I think we could have, honestly, if we'd used some different tools. But like I said, we didn't have that mindset or that tool set now. I certainly didn't. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think my big pivot, and this is what I'm sharing with the audience in Australia, is when I started reading all the books on product management. So my path through Agile was, you know, as a developer, has been very much developer focused for a long time. And then, you know, then I became like Agile coach. And then you kind of get into process coaching. You know, I was a Scrum master for a while. So, you know, I've always seen it from that place. I even taught the product owner. I was a co-trainer for the product owner class, and I was really curious, like, what do you teach product owners? So which I think is totally ridiculous. Like, why am I a co-trainer for a product owner? I've never even been a product owner. And I think that, which gets into a lot of the ridiculous, or part of the ridiculous things we've done in the Agile world, is like, hey, why are the people teaching product classes that have never actually been a product person? So now I'm starting to read product books. How did I get onto product books? I don't know, but totally fascinated. I'm like, wow, this is where Agile should have gone to. Well, this idea of treating your product like and your market like a hypothesis, like lean startup, you know, that core of like lean startup and scientific thinking. And I'm like, why didn't we do that with our transformations? Because we didn't know better. Like, essentially, I didn't. I'll put my hand up. Now I do. And I would do things that way now. But yeah, I think that's where we should have gone. Down this product path of
you know this is so that's one of the many routes. I think
there is another one too. I want to get onto.
So back in 2008, I was in downtown Seattle. You know Chris Sterling, I think. There was another fellow he was introducing me to who was a lean fella. And he was complaining to me. He says, you agile consultants, you always go into the organization like you have the answer. You don't go in and observe and set baselines and things like that. So he's talking about basically creating measurements and measuring what's different. And he says, you guys are making assumptions on what the solution is. And he was right, but I feel like 9 times out of 10, getting a small organization, at least doing Scrum or Kanban, solved a lot of the problems they were looking at, or at least impacted or had a measurable result.
Totally agree. It did no harm. You know, it made them better than where they were. I totally agree. And it makes them start thinking differently, which is really important, right?
Yeah. And I want to like retract a little bit. I said earlier, it's like, oh, I don't think we did much on measurements. You and I did probably more in measurements when we worked for our later company, because they were pretty obsessed with it. But before that, the measurements were ad hoc and not... Okay, I'm going to speak on my side. So the type of some measurements I got involved with as a technical coach was usually related to defect counts and maybe a little bit on cycle time, but certainly defect counts. That was the main thing people wanted to like make go away. And then the metric that when I was brought in to work on automation, the other metric was, well, how many automated tests are you delivering, since that's the change you want? Let's measure the change that you want. You want more automation? Well, let's measure how many you do per sprint and just let the team look at, see if the number keeps going up and watch that. And so those are the two that worked well for me, because that was when I think about the narrow margin of technical coaching, that was something that I frequently did, but it was always up to me. It wasn't like if I was doing process coaching, I had a lot more fuzziness about how to measure the results, other than, again, could measure defects. But most of the time, organizations just wanted people to operate the same way and the measuring the result of that.
Ace is an agile consultant who shares space with a coffee shop in order to save on the rent. Meet this hard-boiled agile consultant and follow his adventures on helping his clients become agile no matter the circumstance. Scrum Noir, the project management comic book that teaches you agile, is available on Amazon. Just search for Scrum Noir. N-O-I-R. Check out the show notes, because we have agile enhanced
goodies, such as some of the visuals that Ron and I talk about in the show notes. If you downloaded this episode from a website, go back to the webpage where you got the episode and you will see the show notes there. Otherwise, if you have a podcast player, it shows up right there in your device for easy access. This is a continuing episode of a series that started with episode 321. If you're like my friend Ricardo and you missed the first episode of the series, go back to agilethoughts.info and there is a search box where you can type in whatever episode you're missing and it will find it for you. Next episode, more Quentin Quartel.
My aha, looking back, because you know, I've been a technical coach, and we know lots of other fellow technical coaches, and they're all like, "Yeah, how about technical coaching?" And I'm like, technical coaching is important, but only in the context of certain other things being in place. And like the very first thing that has to be in place is you have a business model that actually works.